I remember when I first started preaching, and I would be on fire with a sermon or on fire with a message. I mean, God had been hitting me with it all week, and I was on fire, and I showed up, and then I realized not everybody I'm preaching to, you know, was just on fire like I was. In fact, they all had lives to live during the week. So I had to kind of figure out how to start that, and they needed to kind of merge into traffic a little bit and let the caffeine kick in. Has your caffeine kicked in this morning? Just a little bit, some of the grease from downstairs, breakfast maybe? It isn't always as exciting for some that are here, and I realize that. That's why that pause works, even on a Sunday, for me. It's a beautiful thing when things start. Shelley and I, before we got our marriage off the ground, had premarital counseling from a great man. His name was Reverend Bruce Strickland. This guy taught my civics class in high school, also taught a Bible class in high school I just loved. And every time he would start something and end it, for that matter, the class or a prayer or a counseling session, he would always say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Anyone heard that one before? Okay, now I had never heard that before. I thought, man, he's good. Like, this is like poetic, you know, till I found it in Psalms 19, verse 14. And I was like, oh, he plagiarized the whole thing. But I love the fact that he ended that way. He was old school in his late 70s. And when he had even a sermon at a small church not too far down the road, he would occasionally fill the pulpit and he would preach. And I loved hearing him. There's something about Bruce I had a lot of respect for. And in our premarital counseling, same thing. But anytime I preach, there are two sermons that are happening. The one that I'm preaching and the one that you're hearing. And sometimes the two are not the same. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about silent sermons. Silent sermons. This is that time of the year where Silent Night is the focus. And then there's Black Friday. Woohoo! Right? Hard to be silent on Black Friday. The internet's just smoking all over town. And it's just hard with the boat traffic coming and going. Silent sermons. Silent sermons. And I want to focus on Psalm 19. We're going to read the whole thing. Many say this is David's greatest hit, and of all of his psalms, this is his finest work. C.S. Lewis said it's one of the greatest lyrics in human history, and who are you to argue with C.S. Lewis this morning, right? I don't think we've got that one. Touch somebody and say, this must be a good one. Look at somebody and say, this must be a good one, all right? Yeah, and it is, and it was one of C.S. Lewis's favorite chapters. Look at it. Listen to all 14 verses. Here we go. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And I heard Reed read this earlier when I was in prayer in the chapel, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, here we go. Warming them up. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. What a paradox this is. He said they have no vocal cords, they have no esophagus, no larynx, yet they speak so loudly that the skies declare the glory of God. Anyone? Amen? Isn't it beautiful? Did you see the skies from blue to gray to dark to clear with stars, and then another drizzle comes over the top of the mountain again. Just the skies this week, all talking. The heavens show forth his power in such a way that it reaches the end of the earth. It's a silent sermon. Their words go to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Touch somebody and say, God's word works. Remind them. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. All of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than Krispy Kreme. That's the Long Beach translation right there. Than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. Okay? In keeping them. By them, okay? Look at this. Your servant is warned in keeping them. In keeping them. Not just hearing them. In keeping them. There is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And here comes Pastor Bruce Strickland's verse. May the words of my mouth. He said it in the King James Version, late 70s. Love this guy, okay? And the meditation of my heart, take it down, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I can hear him saying it now. And now that I said that scripture, we can get the sermon started this morning. Amen? All right? That was a silent sermon in and of itself. It matters where you start. You agree with me? It matters where you start with how you start your day. It matters how you start your day. A lot of us get out of bed and the to-do list is just right there. Anybody? Your to-do list is just right there. It's hammering you, okay? It matters. Let's use a few examples with your spouse, okay? Shelley and I were very happy on our honeymoon night and the next morning. I'm not going where you think I'm going with this, okay? When she looked at me and I looked at her the next morning, she looked at me, I looked at her, we were brushing our teeth, and for about 15 minutes, we were both awake, okay, but we had not said a word to each other. And she looked at me, and I knew, we both knew that we had made the right decision because she looked at me and said to me, "You don't like talking in the morning either." And I was like, "No, I don't," right? We're fine. In fact, to this day, there's a lot of silence early in the morning, and we're perfectly fine. We're perfectly fine. And we knew it was meant to be, which was great, because we can start our morning without saying a word. And I found out that you can preach a sermon without saying a word. Some of the loudest sermons that I will ever preach will be with my life and not my lips. Are you with me? Yeah? Yeah, with my lips, no, but with my life. In fact, if I preach one sermon with my lips and another with my life, it won't be long before nobody wants to hear what I have to say, no matter how loud I say it. Silent sermons. Sometimes the loudest sermon is silence. There's the one that I preach, and there's the one that I live. You watched a video this morning. That was speaking to your soul. Right? I know you heard some sounds on there, especially the dolphin and other things that make really cool sounds. But even if there was no sound and you watched that, you know that that would speak to your soul. You know it would. My grandmother, would tell me stories. My great-grandfather was a preacher. And my grandfather only heard him, my grandmother only heard him preach one time that she could remember. Probably heard him preach other times that she doesn't remember. The sermon that she remembers is actually on an old vinyl 45. And it would play at very high speeds. And you could hear this one thing, and then he'd play a little fiddle at the end. He was a Methodist circuit preacher, and he would ride in the hills of Tennessee and go from one little white church that had a potbelly stove in the middle of it to keep everybody warm, get on his little horse, and he would go to the next place, and he would preach in the next place. On Sunday, he was busy. He was a circuit preacher. He was moving around. There were sermons all day long. She can't remember other than just one sermon that he preached, and that was the one on the record album. Can't remember what he preached, but she remembered hearing him preach one time. She saw him preach hundreds of times. There's a difference. My grandmother would watch her daddy comb my great-grandmother's hair when she didn't even know his name anymore because Alzheimer's had completely erased her memory of him. But it didn't matter because, like you've heard so many times before, he would say, "She may not know who I am, but I know. Even if she doesn't, I know who I am." And so I'm kind of the husband that will comb her hair and show up every morning when visiting hours start and not leave until they kick me out. And I take her to the KFC for lunch every single day. And he had no integrity because they would share an iced tea every day at the KFC and get free refills and only pay for one instead of two. But see, he was preaching a silent sermon. That's what he was doing. He wasn't the first one to preach a silent sermon because Moses was a man of God that wanted to use different ways to, he needed to know, how am I going to do this? But he wasn't very good with words. So God said, "Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to give you a stick. If you take the stick and stretch it out. Yeah, stretch it out. It's always in the stretch that you discover the supply. You've got to put yourself out there, and then you realize, I have the resources." And that's what Moses did, okay? It's always in the stretch that you discover the strength. It's always in the stretch that you discover the supernatural, and Moses did also. You ought to be getting warmed up by now. Somebody shout, "Stretch." Wake up. Here we go. Okay, God said, "Moses, if you'll stretch your staff over the waters, over it, okay, you won't have to say a word. I will make the waters part." Amen? He did it, and Moses didn't have to say a word. And the people will know what kind of God I am. Not by the words, not by anything you have to speak, but I'll make the waters preach for you. It's a silent sermon. Moses wasn't the only one who preached a silent sermon. One woman in the Bible was so taken by the presence of Jesus, just Jesus, who he was. She snuck in a room with some perfume, really, really expensive perfume. The Bible says it was worth a year's wages. And people knew that she loved Jesus. Not because of her speech, but because of the smell of the fragrance that she poured out on her Savior's feet. Amen? She did it. What a story. Now, I can't find one time where she said a word in the passage. Okay? But Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, the memory of what this woman has done will be told. Here we are in 2019 talking about what that woman did. That's cool. Because some sermons are preached through smell rather than by sound. And others are by sound. Scooch. I'll prove it to you. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego went down in a fiery furnace. Okay, I'm preaching now. We're past the introduction. They turned up the heat 7 times hotter than normal. They thought it would kill them. But when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Have you ever been through so much crap? You cannot imagine a worse day or more stuff in the course of your week, and you don't even smell like what you've been through. You don't even look like you've been through it, but you'd rather choose to not be bitter about it. And anyone here? Enough said right there, okay? Yeah, the last couple months, I remember certain days where I just wanted to bury my head in the sand. I was just, but God had something different. He said, get up, man. Jesus got down in the dirt one day. And a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery was about to get stoned. And Jesus said, if you've never done anything deserving of becoming human target practice, go ahead, fire away. And then he knelt down in the dirt, didn't say another word, and just started writing. People started walking away as he just wrote in the dirt. He's writing their names, probably what they did on prom night. Who knows? Nobody knows what he wrote. All I know is this: the essence of Jesus just being there was enough. That his perfection became a reflection of their need for grace. Some of the greatest and best sermons are silent sermons. Silent sermons. Someone preached one sermon today before I even opened my mouth. The preaching started, John, you know him. Some of you that are visiting, he's right up here in the blue shirt. And you may not know him, okay? Shows up here early for both services, actually, and begins to set up this entire stage, including my little pulpit here. No one says a word. No one says anything to him, typically. But before I opened my mouth, something started happening. Seemingly insignificant acts of service. When you really love God, sometimes it's something that seems insignificant. But to him, it's not. And I wonder if his sermon will actually mean more to God than mine. Because nobody's going to record his online. It's a silent sermon. Can you preach a sermon? Lazarus did. The Bible says that Jesus needed some way to reveal he was not only a healer, but he was resurrection. But if he said it, people would doubt it. But if he did it, somebody had to die. Sometimes the greatest sermon of your life will be by the things that you went through. In fact, I love it. Because that same passage where the woman broke the perfume, and by the way, her name was what? Mary, right? Okay. Because that same passage where the woman did this, she was Lazarus's sister. Lazarus is chilling, leaning back on a chair, sitting back at the table, didn't have to say a word, not one word, period. The fact that he was dead, and now he's sitting there alive. Can you picture this scene going on? The fact that he was in the ground and now sitting at the table was proof of the power of God. Amen? Yeah. There's the proof right there. Didn't have to say a word. How many know just the fact that you showed up for church today? You made it. It makes the devil sick. He can't stand it. You had courage. You got up. You had choices. You got up. You got dressed, and you made it to church today. He can't stand to see you here in the house of God. He's mad, and he can't get in here because we prayed him out. He's out there. That's all right. You're getting your fitness on, right? And you're going to take him on when you leave here, and he knows it. I'm preaching by my very presence this morning, and you are too. It's a silent sermon. So when David says the sun makes a circuit, he's not giving us a science lesson. It's not what he's doing. He's showing us something about how creation preaches silent sermons. Day after day, he says. And I love this part because he adds something. Last week it was planet Earth. Tonight it's blue planet. Today it's blue planet. It's not just day after day. It's night after what? Night. Yeah, he's on it. He said they pour forth the glory of God. They speak, but you can't hear it. Some of God's greatest work is seen and not heard. Not heard. The skies preach a silent sermon. Reed made reference to the mountain chain. Have you seen the mountains? Have you looked over there to see? Even Saddleback had snow on it. My wife couldn't wait to tell me. We never see snow on Saddleback since we lived here. It's really cool. It's pretty heavy. He's showing us something. His creation preaches silent sermons day after day, and his greatest work are things that are not heard. Some of the things that you think that are circumstantial in your life, by the way, are actually cyclical. They're actually cyclical. I think that's a big part of maturity. Beautiful. Round and round. And a big part of your maturity is this: learning what is cyclical. What is cyclical? And not just running around from situation to situation, but understanding the cycles that create situations. Because if you don't understand the cycle that creates a situation, you're going to be dealing with a situation after situation after situation. Are you with me? Okay? I don't need to be a science teacher to explain to you how the solar system operates on cycles. I get it. In fact, when I was in third grade, I got fascinated by this. One of those cheesy mobiles made out of styrofoam balls and a coat hanger, right? And I got to do one of those, and Dad helped me spray paint the darn things. But I had fun just sitting there wondering, how do these things, how does this work? And ours is so perfect that things can live here. And they're beautiful here. The heavens declare the glory of God. You understand we're making a trip right now around the sun. We do it every 365. Sometimes it's 366 if there's a leap year involved. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then they keep doing it in a cycle. And although we know that technically he's not explaining how the universe works, he's giving us a picture of the sun and its circuit. The whole text kind of has this theme that we're going round and round and round and round. And he ends the psalm by saying, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He starts with a solar system, okay? The heavens declare the glory of God, and he ends with his soul. So from the solar system to his soul, everything is on a cycle. Whatever you're thinking about, right now, wake up. It's on a cycle. It's because of a cycle. Whatever you're thinking about right now, it's because of a cycle. In fact, I think it's very, very important and to not just recognize that, but to start our day with God, because it starts either in the right place or the wrong place. Amen? I think that's why it's really important. If you can read a Bible verse before you read a Facebook post, or before you check your email, you check your Gmail. Okay, I'm just kidding. That was corny. But you know what I'm saying, right? You check your heart to God. You simply give it to him first. And then you turn around and you say, all right, I'm ready. That's why we're setting up this one-minute pause thing that's so critical. It'll change this town. You're not the same when you've spent time with God. You're not the same when he's hanging out with you and your lives are intertwined together in union. You're not the same anymore. You understand how he plays a huge part in your life at that point. Your life isn't controlling you. God is there. And he takes it. It's a cycle. And he uses this phrase, the meditation of my heart. Meditation. It's not a hot yoga term, okay? Meditation is a term, it's actually a musical term, and it's not reserved exclusively for Eastern religions. It's Hebrew, and it's a musical term. I bet you didn't know that. And that's why I'm telling you. It's like David, okay? Here's what I learned about meditation. Because for years and years and years and years, I thought what I said to God was my prayer life, and I would just bring it to him. And so I would say a lot of stuff to God, and I would say all the stuff that I need God to do. I need you to help me find my college. I need you to help me find my major. I need you to help me find the right wife. I need you, all this stuff I would focus on. I had this prayer list and prayer thoughts, and I thought all of it felt boring. That's how I approached God. I didn't realize that there were some things God wanted to say to me. Anybody with me this morning? God has some things to say to you. But I just keep bringing my list. I didn't understand the power of a silent sermon until I went to a John Mayer conference or a concert. Never in my wildest dreams. And I literally have nothing against John Mayer. In fact, I think John Mayer has written some beautiful songs. How many agree that John Mayer has written a couple beautiful songs? Anyone here? Wow. Whoa. A lot of people. Okay, cool. Three of you disagree. But everybody else here, if you've heard him, he's quite a guitarist. My son really wanted to see him. He was going through a stage of music and guitar people were big in his life. And we had this opportunity to go and hear him. And for 60 minutes... something I'd never seen before in my life of any musician I'd ever gone to at that point. He did half of a concert, 60 minutes, without a band. Okay? Without a band. A whole 60 minutes in this arena. and I was bored very quickly. I've been very blessed, and in ministry, especially with this band right here, we have a bass player usually, and we have percussion. We have different things coming in. He had no kick drum. He had no snare. He had no bass. No electric. No nothing. It was just John Mayer and his little guitar until something very interesting happened, and I did not realize what was going on. He had this little pedal. He had this little pedal that he would use. So about 4 to 6 songs somewhere in there kicked in after the same old thing. Something different started to happen in this music that I was going, where is this other music coming from? Anyone here ever heard of a loop station or a loop pedal? Have you heard of one before? Okay, a few of you have. And sometimes we'll see that even here. And you can, I'd never seen one before. It's the first time I've ever been introduced to one. And so Tim Hawkins is really needed right now. He's one of my favorite talented guitarists. He's going to do his best John Mayer impersonation, because what John Mayer did, and I had to actually ask somebody the first time I saw this, is he would play something, okay, and then he would stop playing it, but it kept going, all right? Can we show this real quick? We'll give you a little sample of this. Okay.
you, Daniel. Give it up for Tim Hawkins today. That was great, wasn't it? Look him up when you get home. That's great family entertainment. Yeah, Tim got himself in trouble, didn't he? Started playing that thing, sounded good, and then all of a sudden, all heck broke out with that loop. It just did not work out. And he was looking in the instructions, how do I stop this thing? Right? Because that's when I want to ask my heart sometimes, right? How the heck do I stop this thing? How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this loop that I'm in? How did I find myself in this loop? It's not even fun anymore. How do I stop? And it's really hard. Did you notice what was happening is he was stacking loop on top of loop. So it's not just one bad thing that starts with our situation, but situation on top of situation on top of another situation, and it's out of control all of a sudden. How do I stop? Not only how do I stop, how do I unstack these situations even instead of going to the source? And I love that because it's a great visual reminder that we can pose. We can pose all we want with a guitar as that loop is playing, but your life is just posing. That's all it is posing, and it's out of control. Loop after loop. Absolute state of panic that starts. Watch this. Silent sermon. Moses isn't the only one who preached a silent sermon. Lazarus is not only the one here, also. Jesus isn't the only one who preached a silent sermon. David isn't the only one who preached a silent sermon. Not only do the stars, not only do the sun and the skies and the solar system preach silent sermons, the devil also preaches silent sermons. He does. You ever been stuck in a loop of lies? Please talk to me. I feel awfully lonely up here, Avalon. Yeah? A loop of lies. Round and round the lie is building. No one sees me. No one hears me. I'm not beautiful. I don't have what it takes. I'm out of it. I'm behind. I'm behind as a mom. I'm behind as a father. Never going to add up. I'm never going to mount up to my other workers. Never going to be like this guy you're talking about in the Bible right now. You don't admit it, but when some of your relationships went off track, not because of what was said in the relationship, but because of what was not said, what you started saying to yourself. You put yourself in that loop. You got the loop going in your own head. He said within himself. That's what the rich man did in the parable. He said to himself, I'll build many barns. I'll make life easy. He didn't know that that very night his life would be required. He said to himself, it matters where you start with what you think about. Anybody with me this morning? It matters where you start with what you think about this morning. And self is a very small sun for your life to orbit around. I'll say it again. Self is a very small sun for your life to orbit around. It's a very limited loop. Self is a very small scale to see the world in. In fact, sing with me. Do, re, mi, me, me, me. It's just me, me singing the song, me, me. That many of us, me, 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 have been singing all week long, me, me. What's your favorite meditation? Me, me. What are you thinking about? Me, me. Is anyone going to notice? Me, me. Come on, let's have choir practice this morning. Me, 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 me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Me, 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 me. I thought I'd sing this till everyone got bored. It looks like I'm already there.
Caroline, this isn't gonna push too many tapes. We're not gonna sell any albums, Shelly, with this one. I love it when the band's up here. They are anything but themselves and about themselves. They're here to serve. But during the week, it's not gonna bring you joy. Me, me, me. It's not gonna bring me joy. I don't think it's gonna bring me peace. I don't think I'm gonna figure out a solution if I start with myself. I need a new loop. I need a new loop. Some of you came to church today, not just to hear a sermon, but to preach one to yourself. Why don't you start with your source? Start with your source and not with yourself. Now unto him, come on, okay? Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably, right? More than I ever asked or imagined. I'm tired of that track. Me, 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 me. I'm tired of that track. Doesn't work. I thought about how long people can sing that over and over again. You just get tired of hanging out with people like that. How long will it take until you change that meditation? Realizing that if you start with yourself, oh my gosh, you stay in yourself. It's a nasty loop. You'll always be limited to who you are. By who you are. But when you start with a great I am, amen? David said, who's that? They said, I think his name is Goliath. David said, I'll fight him. Saul said, you're small. David said, I'm not coming against him myself or in my name, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Whoa. Looked right at him. The skies declare the glory of God. Notice David didn't start with what was in his heart. You start with what's in your heart, and you'll scare yourself to death. You're going to scare yourself to death. A friend of mine in Florida one time, a couple of vacations ago, we actually visited our old church, and he's heading up things there. And he said, I'm going to have you guys get up on stage as a family. I'd like for you to speak. And I'm going, what? Wait a minute here. There's a lot happening. What do you want me to say? And he goes, just say whatever's on your heart. I'm like, no, dude, you don't want to know what's on my heart right now. Okay? But I'll be happy to tell people what's in heaven. I can't trust that stuff going on in there. Until my heart is set in meditation and in union with Jesus, it's all about me, 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 me. And I don't want people to know about that. I don't want them to know what's going on in my way. I want them to know what Jesus is doing in my life. I want them to know what he has done and what he could do in theirs. Amen? That's the hope. That's the restoration of the heart. So often we start with what's inside ourselves. When our meditation starts with me, most of the time it's merely a form of worry, where a silent prayer is only a silent worry directed in the vicinity of God, okay, with a label stuck on it called prayer. But it's really self-focused, self-directed, self-serving, and self-sufficient. Here's my list. Here's my schedule. And by the way, God, would you please bless it? I'm going there because I just put myself in front of you. And I know you guys do it too. So often we start with what's within ourselves. We start with me and we end up with a loop of two's in your notes. When you start with yourself, you end up in scarcity or shame. How do we know our meditation is centered on me? The answer, our life will be marked with a sense of scarcity or shame. That's how you know. Where we learn two important things. When we start from that place, from what I am, what I have, what I can't have, when this is the dominant thought process of our lives, we will always sense scarcity. I'm not enough, and shame. I don't deserve it. People get beat up every day, and I pray that this church is never guilty of this. People get beat up every day by religious fog, religious spirit. That's not Jesus. And my friends, if you're here this morning for Jesus, you'll feel differently. You won't have scarcity. You won't have shame. The devil would love to do nothing more than create a permanent loop in your head of scarcity and shame. Scarcity, not enough time, I don't have enough energy, not enough money, too much of my life, not enough of me to go around, where we always run out, we're not available. When we start our day with these crazy things that we have to do today, we get tired before we even engage, before we even start. We need to start with something different and stop the focus on me and start focusing on the source. Start with something greater. Here's the critical life choice this morning. Are you going to base your thinking on your situation? Since most of us spend energy thinking about this, okay? Or are you going to base your life thinking on revelation? I could watch that blue planet junk all day, man. Pop in a blue anything or a planet Earth something. I don't care. If they put cameras in weird places, I could watch that bad boy all day long on a loop-de-loop-de-loop. And they used to show it at one of the restaurants down here all the time. They'd have stuff playing. I loved it. I remember eating. I'd just go in there to watch that. Why? Because it was revealing God. There was revelation in it. It was changing. You've been to Shark Harbor on a stormy day, right? You ever looked off of Ben Weston's overlook on a stormy, windy day, just seeing the ocean, right? You can't, people don't go stare at a tennis court. They don't stare at a basketball court down at the mall, right? But they'll stare at the ocean all day long. Nothing's static. It's all in flux. It's all moving. God behind it all, his person, who he is. Some of us are worried about the situation that we miss the understanding that God gives us to speak into it and to speak about the revelation. Start the day with this statement. I've got the revelation. Start your day with that. I've got the revelation. I saw the sun and the stars pouring forth speech. I saw the night sky. I saw the revelation of the goodness of God. I will never let my heart be dominated by my situation, but by my revelation. Rather than starting with the way things are. And I've seen this in my own family. And this is hard to admit. Start with who God is instead. He's a great big God. He does incredible miracles. Your life is in his hands. My life is in his hands. Anyone thankful for that this morning? Right? This has been a week of Thanksgiving and you're moving right into the next holiday. Don't get there quite yet. Stay thankful. My life is in his hands. He is forever. His love goes on and on and on, and we need to leave the lying loop and completely enter the loop of the love of God. Amen? We all need some of this. Verse 12. But who can really know? Who can really know? This is why we need a new loop. What the law was powerless to do, where God sees us living in a loop of religious requirements, he sees us living in self-effort, self-help books, honoring bulls, rams, doves, calves, and incense, where the loop of the law was ineffective. God sends his son to do what the law could not do. I'm ending my sermon with that. Amen? Anybody with me this morning? Are you? This is it right here. What the religious junk could not do, God sent his son to take care of this morning. John, if you'll come on up, and everyone please stand with me this morning. Please. I'd like for you to repeat this with me. Just close your eyes. Let's say it together. Where the law was proven. One more time. Where the law was proven to be powerless, we have a new loop. Where we live, not by situation, but by revelation.
where God shows who God is and who we are. Where we no longer see ourselves through the lens of shame, but rather through the lens of what God did for me. Stay with me, people. So the cycle of shame is broken. So the cycle of sin is broken. So the cycle of fear is broken. So the cycle of slavery is broken. Where His Son has set us free. So my friends, go forward like you already know the outcome. Where we no longer live by what we see, but rather to live by what He has spoke. We have a new loop. We keep the beat and praise Him. The heavens declare the glory of God. Keep the beat with heaven. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight. Lord, my rock, my redeemer, we have banned these foul spirits. We have shut them down. And for those that were focused this morning and kicked out that shame, kicked out that scarcity, because they're getting closer to union with Jesus. My friends, that's the pace. That's the loop that you're looking for. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just wanna be where You are. I just wanna be. nothing like your love. I just wanna be, I just wanna be where you are. I just wanna be near your heart. And there is nothing like your love. And there is nothing like your love. There is nothing like your love.